So in our passage this evening, the verses 46 to 49, the Lord Jesus is finishing his teaching to his disciples in the large multitude. So if you have your Bibles with you, please open them to Luke chapter 6, because it starts at Luke 6, 17, the verse that we read at the beginning, where it says, "And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear them." A large multitude of people coming to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. People were healed. People were healed from their diseases. And those who were tormented by unclean spirits were healed also. There was great power. There was great power in majesty. The Lord Jesus showed the people that he was the one who could heal their diseases and set them free from the bondage of sin and evil. And after the people saw all the things that happened, the Lord Jesus started to teach his disciples and the multitude, not only his disciples. And he started to teach them about the kingdom of God, what it looked like, what rules apply, and what kind of people there live. And the people heard the blessings and the woes, and they heard about the kingdom love and about kingdom judgment, that they were not to judge people. And as we heard last week, this is not about a certain ethics to work yourself into heaven. It is not what people must do to enter heaven, but it is what is expected of those who are on the road to the kingdom, who are already in the kingdom. And then the Lord Jesus, he finishes with his parable of the two men building a house. A story that most of us know from when we were young. And all the young children are probably able to tell us this story. There are songs about this story. But it is not a nice story. It is a warning. It is a warning to you. It is a warning to me. It is a wake-up call. Two men are building a house. One is building, he is digging, and he is deepening, and he is putting the foundation on the rock, and then he starts building. The other man starts building without a foundation. And then the flood comes. It beats vehemently against both houses, but one is destructed. And its ruin is great, as we read. And the other one stays standard. And as we come to this parable, to what the Lord Jesus is saying, it looks that we come as a church, but we come individually. Everyone for its own, on his own. Although the disciples were standing there with a huge multitude, the Lord Jesus addressed them one by one. And in the same way, as we are here in this church, some of you in the building, some of you on YouTube, this passage, this parable puts you right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. You alone. You personally. Not your mother, not your father, not your friends, not your wife, not your husband. You personally before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the division that he makes in this parable is running straight through this church and all the churches that we know. It is like the disciples in the large multitude. We are like them. They heard the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so did you the last couple of weeks. You heard the same things from the same person. His teaching is the same. His person is the same. His character is the same. Human beings are the same. The only thing that changed is the location and the place, or the date and the place. So the Lord Jesus, he looks at the multitude in front of him. And he knows that some are calling him Lord, Lord. And that's why he says in verse 46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Some of them in that multitude, they were calling him Lord, meaning that he is not just a mere man. He is a great man. Maybe they even acknowledged that he was a great prophet, that he was someone who had something to say, a wise man, a man who helped them in their need. And that is exactly what's going on. They want to have things from the Lord, but they didn't want to do things for the Lord. They call him Lord, Lord, out of a selfish desire to get healed, to be healed, to other people from the family, maybe, to be healed, and to see the power of God, to even touch the Lord Jesus, as it is said in at the beginning, 17 and 18. But the purpose of this parable is to stress the importance of obedience to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, to not only say, Lord, Lord, but to also do what he says. So it is possible to call the Lord Jesus Christ Lord and still not be saved. And you, who are here tonight, are you calling the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord? Do you profess him with your mouth? And as I said, the line of division is very sharp tonight. It is not a matter of maybe, or might, or could, or perhaps. It is a matter of yes, of no, of life and death, of black and white. Either you are for God, or you are against him. There is no in between. It is about your personal salvation. It's your eternal destiny. It's your hope for the life after this life. So the question comes to me and comes to you. On what foundation are you building your life? Maybe you go to church already for years. Maybe you're baptized. You partake in the Lord's Supper. You are here with the Bible studies. And people look at your life and they see someone who is a true Christian. Everything looks fine. You know where the stories are in the Bible. You can flip through the Bible and name the correct verses. And yet, you might be a hypocrite, because words are no substitute for obedience. So, what we'll do, we first look to the similarities of these both men that we encounter in the parable, and then we look at the differences. So the similarities, the first thing is, if we look to verse 47, we see that the man, the true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he hears my sayings, it says. And also in verse 49, the man who is not a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he also heard. It's the first thing that we notice. Both of these people, both of these men, they hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that it is not about someone who is not familiar with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about someone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, who heard his word. Someone who knew what he commanded, what he demands. And to our time, it is about church people. People who go to church every Sunday. It's about you. And it's about me. It's the first similarity. They both heard the word of the Lord. The second one is they are both building. Look at verse 48. The true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's building a house. And also in verse 49, the hypocrite is a man who built a house. Both men were building a house. From the outward, nothing is different. Maybe the house of the unbeliever, of the hypocrite, is bigger and more beautiful, because he has more time to spend in the details. It looks fantastic from the outside, because he has not to dig, he has not to deepen. And on the surface level, his house looks beautifully. So they both hear, they both build. And the third thing that is similar is they both will face the flood. The true follower of Christ and the hypocrite, they both will face, in the first place, difficulties in this life, but most ultimately, they will stand before God, each of them individually, and face his judgment. Both are tested, both hear, both build, and both will face the flood. But what is the difference between these two men? The first thing that we read from this parable is that a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is one who comes. Look with me to verse 47, where the Lord Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like." A true disciple is one who comes. This is where it starts. You can't call the Lord Jesus Christ Lord, Lord, unless you come. And the word that is used here is a word that indicates that it is a continuous coming. Someone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he comes again. He keeps on coming to the Lord. What does the Lord Jesus say? The object of the coming. He says, whoever comes to me. It is a coming toward the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is a movement with a direction, with a goal. It is one goal. Him. To approach him. And to be in relationship with him. And like we heard this morning, we don't come to a philosophy. We don't come to a religion or to some random teaching. We come to a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also, he's available. It says, the one, whoever comes to me. There is the availability of coming. There is a road towards him. And people can come to him. He is not keeping people at a distance. And look again what it says in verse 47. Whoever comes to me. He makes no distinction. Men, women, children, adults, young, old, rich, poor, slave, free, Jew, Gentile, black and white. Everyone can come. There is no distinction, no separation. But there is one thing. No one can bring you. You have to go on your own. You alone on that road to Christ. So a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the first place one who comes to him. Not geographically, but spiritually. Because the large multitude, they all together went to the Lord Jesus Christ in a geographical location. But this is about coming to him as a person, as the Savior. So this is the first difference. The second one, we find also in verse 47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings. But you see, how can this be a difference? Because we just read in verse 49 that the hypocrite also heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both hear his words. Yes, but there is a big difference, an enormous difference. A difference that will lead to eternal joy or to eternal destruction. Because again, the word hearing in verse 47 is indicating a continual hearing. And a hearing that never stops. It keeps on going. People who keep on going to the Lord Jesus Christ and keep on hearing his words. And in verse 49 it says, who heard, past tense, once his word and doesn't do anything that he says. You can make an appointment with your friend tomorrow afternoon in the park to have a chat, to have a conversation. And you can spend time together and you can talk to each other equally. You are on the same level. Not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we come to him, we don't come to him to have a nice chat and to tell him what we want. We come to him to hear him. Because he is the one who has the words of eternal life. So the goal of our coming to him is to meet him as a person and to hear his words. And as we hear, as we listen, we pay careful attention to what he says. It is like Peter says in John 6:68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So a true believer, a true Christian, a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is one hearing what he has to say. It is an active hearing. And what is he hearing? Hearing my sayings or my words. Not the words of Mohammed, not the words of Buddha, not the words of man, not the words of philosophy, not even the words of the pastor. with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because he has the authority. He has life in himself. So we see that coming and hearing of a true follower and a hypocrite are different. And the third thing that we find is the doing. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. And the contrast is in verse 49. But the man, the hypocrite, who heard and did nothing. And this might make us feel uneasy in our circles. But it is one thing to hear what the Lord Jesus says and even approve of it. It's quite another to obey what he has to say. Because hearing without doing is empty. It is not just admiring some outstanding teaching, but it is making his teaching the guide and model of our life. That the words of the Lord Jesus Christ impact our lives. That it is shaping our thinking. That it is guiding our actions. It is putting the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in practice. And this is what the Bible says. Without obedience, faith is empty. James 1. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Or in chapter 2 of James, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? There's also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And what does the Lord Jesus say in Luke 8, two chapters away? He says, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. The Bible is clear. Faith without works is no faith. But maybe some of you might say, are we not saved by grace alone? Oh yes, let us not think that obedience is the way to heaven, but it is the way of heaven. You can't be walking on the way of heaven without obeying God's words. Salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But that grace that he shows us results in a changed heart that accepts God's words and does what he says. So we see that coming, hearing and doing are differences. But the other difference is the result after the flood. Because the one thing is certain, the flood will come. And there are only two outcomes possible. For those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 48. When the flood came, the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. And I was thinking this week, when preparing this message, of that image that we all know. The image of a big rock coming out of the sea, with a lighthouse on top of it, shining its light. And the waves crash into the rock, into the lighthouse. But the lighthouse keeps standing because it's founded on the rock. So it will be with those who trust. Come, hear and do the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those who heard Jesus but did not do anything, verse 49. The river crashed against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of that house was great. The destruction or the ruin of that house was great. And there is no time to rebuild afterwards. So the one who is coming, hearing and doing, is the man who is like a man who's building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And the one who heard and does not do the words, he is like a man who is building a house on the ground without the foundation. And everything looks fine from the outward. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the rock. And his words are the foundation. And the building is the doing, is our day-to-day life, our obedience to him. And they lay claim to the whole person. First, the relational aspect, the coming. We need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The verbal aspect, we have to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. And our behavior, what are we doing with his words? So everything that we are, everything that we do, everything that we want to be, should be built on the rock. And it is not the building that survives the flood. It is the rock upon which the house is built. The building of the house itself is not keeping the house stable. It is the rock and the foundation that is keeping the house stable. So now what should we do? What should you do? You should examine yourself. You should look into your life. What you have been doing and what you are doing right now. Look into your public walk, but more importantly, look into your private walk. How do you behave towards man and towards God? Face those secret sins in your life, those sins who are hidden from the eyes of the world. And dig into yourself and see that you are sinful, that you are a ruined creature, and that there is nothing, really nothing, to build your house on. And maybe you say, I've already been building for years, but there's no true foundation in my life. I would say, call the demolition team. Tear down the house and start digging. And dig deep. And lay the foundation on the rock. And don't stop until you hit the rock. And then start building. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear his words. Believe in what he says. And be saved. Or you say, it is too late for me. No, you are not too late, because the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. Because God's word is being proclaimed to you. And these are not my words, these are the words of God himself. And he still gives you the opportunity to come to him, to listen to him, to believe in him. Or you say, you don't know about all my sins. My sins are too many. Dear friend, this is exactly why there is hope for you. You cannot build on sinking sand. There is no way that we can come through the Father than through Jesus the Son. All other ways are closed and lead to destruction. There is only one way that will lead to life. One way of forgiveness for sins. And that is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Luke 5:31 says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And as we sung this morning, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. To come to Jesus Christ, hear his words, believe in him, and be saved. And maybe some of you will say, oh, no, we should not start digging into our own hearts, because we will find nothing. We have to look to Christ instead. Exactly, because when we dig into our own hearts, when we dig into our own lives, we will find nothing. We will find no rock to build on. We can dig deeper and deeper, but we will never, ever find any rock to build on. And it should drive you, and it should drive me to despair, to hopelessness, because when we look to ourselves, there is nothing but sinking sand. But God, in his great mercy, provides for us a rock and a foundation. In the enormous ocean of sin and evil, there is a place where sinners still are saved. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. He went under in this ocean of sin and iniquity. And God made him who knew no sin to be sin. He was crucified. And he paid the price. He was judged by God on our behalf. He died and was put into the grave. But he did not stay in the grave, because God raised him up. And he rose victoriously out of the tomb as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he is the Savior of sinners, breaking the bonds of evil and of sin. And he is now, right now, at the present moment, seated at the right hand of God the Father. So cling on to him. Don't let go of him. Drill holes into all the areas of your life and fill them with Christ. Dig out all those secret sins and fill them with Christ. Come to Jesus. hear his words, believe in him, and be saved. So back to the beginning. Here we are, together with the large multitude of Luke 6:17, standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, only separated by time and location. And Jesus is speaking. These words are the words of the Savior of the world. There is no other, he says. I am the way. I am the rock. I am the truth. My words are the foundation. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way for you to be saved. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week. You have heard his words in the last couple of weeks. And today, you all have heard his words. Have you already come to him? Are you already coming towards the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world? Are you hearing his words time and time again? In the word being preached, in your Bible, when you read your Bible every day? And are you obeying him? Amen. We sing our final hymn. It's the hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness." So let's stay seated and sing our final hymn. Together. Lord God Almighty, But as we heard this parable of the Lord Jesus Christ that he taught his disciples in the large multitude, we pray, Lord, that every one of us will put their house, the building of their house, on the rock and on the foundation, on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and if there is anyone here tonight, in the building or via the live stream, that is not yet building, Lord, we ask you to expose their foundation and to show them that when the flood will come, and it will come, when the crisis will come, and it will come, that they are building on the firm rock and foundation of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, open our eyes for the reality of the hopelessness of this world and of our lives in ourselves. Open our eyes and give us a burden for the people around us, our friends, our family, our colleagues, the people on the street, our neighbors, the people who are without you and without hope in this world are going towards that day, the day of judgment, when you will come as a judge of the living and of the dead. And no one is escaping. No one is able to escape your judgment. So Lord, let your gospel prevail in this part of London. Let your gospel may go out this week in the Bible studies, in the Christianity Explored groups, on Zoom, on Facebook, wherever your word is being proclaimed and being taught. Lord, we pray that people might have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, standing before him individually, coming towards him, hearing his words and doing what he says, kneeling before him, confessing their sin and clinging on to him, the rock of ages. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.